You are listening to the Wellspring Podcast, dedicated to quenching your thirst for bygone days. I'm Gwen Toonman, an author digging into the past for details that will form the bedrock of my novels and short stories. I'm nearly ready to begin writing my new novel, in which horses will figure prominently. To that end, I'm venturing back to the 1800s to see what I can learn about expert horseshoers, or farriers as they're known. Because of the typical movie depiction of blacksmiths, I presume that all blacksmiths shoed horses. Today, one individual is seldom both farrier and blacksmith. In earlier times, many, but not all, village blacksmiths took great pride in their ability to master both arts. Shoeing horses accounted for a large portion of many blacksmiths' business. In nearby Pickering Village, the 1800s blacksmith shop could produce 200 horseshoes in one day. Before veterinarians became more commonplace in the late 1800s, the farrier also diagnosed and treated horse disease and illness. He played a preventative role by watching for signs of lameness and intervening to halt its progress. His profession required a commanding knowledge of horse limb anatomy and the skill to craft corrective horseshoes to offset the effects of an injury. A corrective horseshoe can also improve a horse's gait, much like today's orthotics for people. In the wild or in a grassy meadow, horse hooves in their natural state match the demands placed upon them. The use of horses on hard ground and cobblestone paving resulted in hoof damage, such as erosion and cracking. Horses used primarily for road travel needed regularly scheduled reshoeing. The farrier first used a pair of large pincers to remove the current shoes from the horse's hooves. There's a wealth of information to be found on this topic through modern-day farrier associations. Here's a quote from Walter Fuhrman of the American Farriers Association. Hygiene is extremely important, especially when animals are somewhat confined and continually walking over the same ground where they urinate and defecate. So another important job for the farrier is to clean the feet and cut out excess hoof walls, dead sole, and frog tissue. Frog is a curious term to use when discussing a horse's foot. But if you visit the blog post at gwentoonman.com, you'll see labeled diagrams of the underside of a horse's hoof to discover just exactly what a frog is. You'll also see a wonderful video detailing the steps in cleaning a horse's hoof. The farrier uses a pair of large pincers to remove the current shoes from the horse's hooves. After each foot is cleaned, a searcher, paring knife, and rasp are used to trim the hoof. Horse hooves are constantly growing and in need of trimming and inspection. I've shared a video in the original blog post that shows a farrier trimming the horse's hooves. It's a very complicated procedure, requiring a great deal of measuring and care. He fits the new shoe, making necessary adjustments by heating the shoe in the forge and reshaping it at the anvil. This procedure is called hot shoeing. Cold shoeing is when the horseshoe is reshaped without being heated in the forge. He attaches the shoe by hammering nails through the non-sensitive part of the hoof. A miscalculation on his part can result in a nail jabbing into the sensitive portion of the foot where the nerves reside, and lameness will follow. Each nail, once in place, will protrude through the exterior of the hoof. The farrier will trap the excess length of the nail in the claw end of his hammer, and with a sharp twist, the end is bent back against the hoof to hold the shoe securely in place. The work is finished with a light rasping along the edges of the hoof. Shoeing is made easier for the farrier when the horse is perfectly still. Some older workhorses, however, may develop greasy leg, a condition that results in excessive twitching and restlessness. The torment of buzzing flies are also the bane of the farrier's existence. With these challenges in mind, I searched a list of era-appropriate safety practices for the farriers and their assistants in my story. The farrier should work in an area spacious enough for himself, an assistant, and the horse, of course. The recommended minimum space is 18 by 20 feet. There should always be a route of escape open to the horse in case it gets upset. Attention should always be focused on the horse and the shoeing process. Don't call out to passersby or people in the barn. Even dogs should be kept away from the space. Be sure to use a properly fitted halter. Maintain a firm grip on the lead rope, allowing just the right amount of slack so you can readily control the horse's movements. If you hold too tightly, the horse will rebel against the restricted range of motion. Wear gloves to avoid rope burn in case the horse yanks its head back and the rope slides through your hands. A horse should never be cross-tied for shoeing unless the horse has pulling issues and the farrier is in agreement with this strategy. It's important to keep the horse's head up for a variety of reasons. First, when the head is down, the farrier must bear more weight. Also, a lowered head is a signal that you don't have a safe grip on the lead line. Lastly, a lowered head can result in a startled horse, which increases the risk of injury to both horse and farrier. The farrier should be asked where he'd like the assistant to stand. The assistant should never turn his or her back to the horse. If a horse is startled, it will tend to move away from its handler. For this reason, you should stand next to the horse's shoulder on the same side the farrier is working. Do not stand in front of the horse. Refrain from the temptation to groom the horse once the farrier has begun his work. Shoo flies away and discourages him from landing on the horse while the farrier is working. If the horse becomes anxious, soothe it with a gentle voice and a light touch. Placement of a companion horse in a neighboring stall can have a calming influence. Also effective is another person holding a second lead within view of your horse. Avoid shoeing a horse close to its usual feeding time. The horse's distracted focus can make it challenging to work with. Unless the farrier asks you to distract the horse with food, don't feed the horse while the farrier is working. The farrier's job will be made easier if the horse is standing squarely on all three hooves. Some horses will want to nuzzle or nibble at the farrier's clothing, while others may nip and bite, so be sure to direct the horse's mouth away from the farrier. Before the shoeing process begins, determine who will discipline the horse, yourself or the farrier. Otherwise, warn the farrier when you are about to scold the horse, and he should do likewise. This will avoid injury to either party in the event that the horse jumps unexpectedly in reaction to the reprimand. And lastly, restrain the horse from running past the farrier because a kick could be deadly. That's it for today's episode of the Wellspring Podcast. If you'd enjoy the videos and labeled diagrams mentioned in this podcast, along with vintage photography, please visit gwentuman.com. That's GWENTUIMAN.com. And search Shoeing Horses. While you're there, please leave a comment or a question. Share the article on your social media. You can hear more of this great music at CherylCastleman.com. The link appears on my contact page. Thanks for joining me. I'm so glad you were here. Stay inspired, keep smiling, and we'll chat again soon.